It's the full armor of God. It's the text is Ephesians 6:10 through 18. So before we begin, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day and this gift and this blessing of this congregation. And I pray as we go forward, the Holy Spirit fills this room and this house and the hearts of these people. Lord, I pray that the message today that comes from you, not me. And I want each person in here to hear what they need to hear in their life. And Lord, you know what that is. And I pray that you deliver that to them. And I pray that they have ears to hear and eyes to receive it. In Jesus Christ's precious name, amen. So the last time I preached was in Ephesians. I love Ephesians. And so going through, it's the Apostle Paul. He's working in Ephesus. He spends a lot of time in Ephesus. But as you recall, when we were talking about it, it was a major port city. So there's a lot of idolatry going on. There was a lot of witchcraft. There was just their major income in that town was idols and idolatry and things like that. So here's these group of Christians just starting out there. So he's trying to work with the Christians. So he gives them the full armor of God. So instead of giving them a sweet little lullaby message, he comes at them with, this is how you protect yourselves as Christians in this environment. So you can take this, and if you want, I can get you transcripts the next time you have to go to Seattle. So, willing to pass it along. So the Apostle Paul doesn't end his letter to the Ephesians with a sweet lullaby. He ends it like a battle cry. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand. Okay, get used to the word stand. By the end, you'll know what I mean. We're going to say it a lot today. So, finally being strong. Okay, so four times in six verses, he says it. Stand, stand firm, stand again, and withstand. Not attack, not chase, not flex, just stand. Paul wrote to the believers in Ephesus, a city full of idols, witchcraft, and spiritual deception. He reminds them that their battle isn't against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of evil. So at this point, I'd probably go through verse 10. You got it up there. So finally, be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Verse 12, brutal with honesty. Okay? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We want it to be, we think it is, but it's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So that makes it a lot bigger, right? So instead of fighting with your neighbor about his trash on the curb, now we have this dark world, and then we go bigger into a spiritually realm. So there's a lot going on that we don't even see happening. There's evil and things happening around us every day. So we need the armor of God to be able to protect ourselves with that. So 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, 15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. 16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. We're going to talk about the flaming arrows. All flaming arrows of the evil one. 17, take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So in 10 and 11, they talk about the strength behind the armor. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What's the strength in the armor? It's God. What is the armor? It's God. So finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The power is God. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. In other words, we're not out there trying to win the victory. He's already won the victory. We're out there to fight from that victory. It's a different angle to take. And when you're in a spiritual battle, always keep that in mind. We're not fighting and struggle for the victory. We're from the victory, and we need to remember that we are from that victory. So the enemy face is 11 and 12, is not flesh and blood. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So when you see these things happening, Remember, there's so many things, we'll talk about it more, but it's so much bigger. And when you see your neighbor's trash, try to just take a deep breath, because just look at it and go, there's bigger. I say this, but I know my neighbor looks at me because I have all types of toys and stuff, and he's just looking over me like, yeah. Anyways. So Paul reminds us that our struggle isn't against people, not your boss, not your spouse, not your neighbors, your political opponents, even though some would disagree, quite a bit in this church, but against spiritual forces that manipulate and deceive. Satan's tactics haven't changed. Deception, division, discouragement, and distraction. That's his main focus. So when you go through how Satan gets you, let's look at deception. He twists the truth. Now more than ever, he's twisting that truth. Have you noticed how crazy things have gotten in the last year with AI and stuff going on? What's real? What's not? And, you know, we got some young kids that work with us, and sometimes I'll be like, no, that, God, holy cow, look at that. And they'll just be like, yeah, it's AI. How do you know that? And you say, see that thing on the bottom? It says AI. Oh, okay. All right. But it's deceptive. My mother-in-law, I come in, and she's listening to scripture, and I can tell it's AI, and it scares me to death because I'm just like, what is she listening to and what's going on? I mean, it's scary. But there's so many things and tools that he can use right now to deceive. I think in the next couple years, we are going to really have on our full armor, because there's going to be things coming, already coming, but more and more and more from every direction. What's real? What's not? What is the news telling that's right and wrong? We know that's been a crazy thing for a long time, but now it's getting even crazier, because you can make Trump say whatever he wants to, he's going to say. You can make Gavin Newsom say whatever he wants to say, and it looks real. It's scary. When I was practicing this sermon, I did one of these numbers, and then I did something like this, and then this, and I went, oh my God, you just did Gavin Newsom. Put your hands down. So, anyway, so moving on, division. You've seen him, right? And like, you just want to reach into the TV. And, anyways, divisions. He turns believers against each other. So, as this body of church, and to see all these new faces and stuff, man, beautiful, beautiful faces, and thank you so much for coming today. And but our church is a very strong, strong church. They're very young at heart, and they have built a bond that is very tight. And I can say, coming into this church and them worshiping me, or helping me with, welcoming me with open arms has been amazing. But so the evil one wants to divide us, and that's what he does. And he takes little things in the church and he starts spinning you against each other, because together we're strong. But as soon as he can pick this person off, or this person doesn't like what that person's doing, and that person doesn't like that, or the building and how this person wished that this was in the building, or that way or that way. Look at this beautiful thing. We can't argue anymore. It's not even worth the argument. There's all things and little things that people want, but he can use that. The evil one just wants to pick us apart. And if he can pick you apart far enough, he can get you alone. And next thing you know, you're out there screaming in the middle of the desert by yourself like a billboard. And he's like, I got you, kid. You're done. And so it's important that we stick together and don't have division within the church. Differences, yes, definitely differences. We all have differences. There's all different walks of life. I always say churches are messy. And people go to church and they think, oh, this church is good. And then they're in there for a couple months. They get into real life. And then all of a sudden they're like, no, don't want that church. That church is no good. I'm going to go to this church. Church, I don't care what church you're going to go to. It's messy. It's like, we're human. We're fallible. We're sinners. It's just how we handle and conduct ourselves after that, and always believe that churches are going to be messy. So discouragement. He makes you doubt God's goodness. He makes you doubt you. He makes you doubt what's going on. Even in discouragement with yourself, you're not good enough, you're not okay, this isn't okay, God doesn't care about you, God doesn't do this thing. Discouragement and distraction through constant, constant, constant. So distraction, he keeps you busy, not fruitful. So again, you look at all the technology. I have two cell phones, I have a TV in every room, I have my laptop, we have distractions everywhere. So when you think about it, all these things he can use to take. How many times have you guys started to look something up on your phone or on your laptop? And next thing you know, this pops up, or a friend request pops up, and that pops. And before you know it, you're out here in left field, and you're like, what was I even looking for? I mean, that's never happened to me, but I've heard it has with some people. So. So yeah, no, you can take, you know, there is many distractions, but also those distractions can be used for good when you use them for listening to sermons. You can do, there's a million things you can study the Bible. There's a millions of good things that those distraction pieces can be used for. So it's not just bad things. But if you happen to start getting off into like NPR, CNN, there's no hope, you're done. It's just like, no, I'm just kidding. No, but there's lots of ways to get distracted. And that's the whole thing, is make sure your devices that you use them properly, and you know when to shut them off. Things like TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff can take up hours and hours and hours, and we're all guilty. Myself is guilty of it. But that's why Paul says stand, not panic, not retreat, stand firm in God's truth. So I want to include 18 and 19. It is not technically part of the armor of God, but I think it's what makes the armor of God. And the 18 and 19 right behind that says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And then this is Paul speaking. It says, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. So in other words, he's saying prayer, and without prayer, your armor's no good, and we'll talk more about that. But I find it also funny, he says, I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. I think it's funny. You look at the mystery, you think of like the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe. The mystery of the gospel, when you think about it, it is a mystery. There's a ton of things and crazy things going on in the Bible that will take you for an eternity of learning and growing from it. So with that said, we go into the six pieces. So God prepares us for the fight. He clothes us head to toe with himself. So verse 14 is the belt of truth, integrity. Roman soldiers wore a wide belt that held everything together. Jesus said, I am the truth. This is the belt of truth. We are belting ourselves with Jesus Christ. When lies come, you're not enough. God doesn't see you. This will never get better. You tighten that belt. That's the belt of truth. That's Jesus Christ within us. Yes. You answer every lie with, it is written. It is written. Just like Jesus did in the wilderness, truth holds your life together. Jesus Christ, the truth, holds our life together. So question, are there areas in your life, and I want to say my life, in our life, where you're compromising the truth, and we all do it, and some big, some small, but there's compromise in there. It's like we try to do it, it's a little gray, and we try to mix a little gray in there so we can accept doing it for ourselves when we can't. And I know sometimes there's a lot of topics that I have to go, people go, what? Why can't this be this way? And I say, because this says it can't, and I can't overrule this. It just can't, and that's the truth. So moving on to the breastplate of righteousness, of purity. The breastplate, this protected the heart and vital organs. Now, remember, breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness. You do not earn this breastplate. You do not earn this breastplate. Christ's righteousness was given to you the moment you believed. His righteousness was given. We don't earn it. We do good deeds because we are righteous through Christ, who gave it to us the day we believed. Amen? So I encourage you, if you're on the believing or in that designating side, please feel free to talk to me. I'd love to talk to you more about that. But the day you believe, that is your righteousness. When the accuser whispers, you're too guilty, you're too broken, you're too dirty, you point to the breastplate and say, not my record, his record. Christ is our righteousness. So guilt loses its sting when righteousness is not your performance, but his gift. To reiterate on that, what he's saying is the righteousness is given. We don't do good deeds to get the righteousness. We do good deeds because he gave us righteousness to do those good deeds. So verse 15, feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Soldiers needed shoes that could march over any terrain. Roman soldiers wore sandals with spikes for firm footing. You and I are called to advance, but never in anger or panic. So we're putting on this armor, but we're never advancing in anger or panic. always carrying peace. Wherever we're going, we're armored so that we can take the blows and deliver peace. That's our goal. Wherever these shoes take you, hospital room, difficult conversations, you bring the good news of the gospel wherever you're at. It could be in your house. It could be at your work. It could be wherever you are. You need to be carrying the shoes of the gospel, the spirit of the truth, so that people, when they are ready to receive it, they will know you're Christian by your love. They will know. They will see you, and they'll see a difference in you. I think they'll see a difference in you. You shine a little different. You act a little different. You talk to them differently. So it's important that you always have your shoes ready. So, peace is your traction. Every conversation you can be a mission field, no matter where your feet take you. So moving on, 16 is the shield of faith. Now this kind of cracks me up. So the Roman shield, according to some historians, the Roman shield was door-sized. So picture a door this big. So you got that door. So you're a Roman soldier, and you guys are getting ready to take it on. Imagine trying to move this thing out in the battlefield. So you're out there, and you're standing next to Fred, and you're like, Fred, is the battle starting? He's like, I don't know. I can't see. Can you see? I can't see. Look around there. Heck no, I ain't looking around there. You look around there. You know, just sitting there in the battle. Yeah, it seems ridiculous. But anyways, we'll go with it. Was door-sized, covered in leather, soaked in water, extinguishing flaming arrows. So what they would do is they would cover the front of that in leather, and then they would soak that leather down, sopping wet. So when flaming arrows came at them, the hopefully in the front, it would extinguish it before it caught it on fire. So faith is simply trusting, this is beautiful, trusting what God has already said. So people of faith, and I was just praying for one of our congregations who were going through some medical problems and everything else, and they were crying, and they said, I just need faith. It was a serious situation, but they just needed the faith. Well, this is the best thing, and these words weren't in my mouth then, but they are now. Faith is simply trusting what God has already said. That's it. You can't complicate it. You don't need to bring science into it. Faith is so simple. Faith is simply trusting what God has already said. It's black and white. It's in that book. Do I believe this book? Yes, I do. Do I believe every word of this book? Yes, I do. So where's my faith? Even when it's weak, it's strong. Don't let the evil one lie to you. If it's in this book, if it is written, that is your faith. Boy, I got excited on that one. Let me find my place here. The enemy shoots fiery arrows, doubts, temptation, fears, lies. Faith quenches those flames. Faith isn't pretending, it's depending. Trusting that God's word is truer than your feelings or your circumstances. Going back to what I said, my faith is strong even if it's little, because it's not pretending, it's just understanding that I have to depend on the word of God and God himself. So we are saved by grace through faith. And Matthew 17:20, to summarize, just a little faith the size of a mustard seed, that'll move a mountain. So moving on, verse 17, the helmet of salvation, security, it protects the mind. So the enemy's favorite battlefield is your thought life. The enemy's favorite battlefield is your thought life. If Satan can't destroy your soul, he'll attack your thoughts. How many times you've been doing something, working on something, and next thing you know, you're just kind of droning out doing something, and this thought's out in left field are there, and you're like, where in the heck did that crap come from? It happens to all of us, and you're just like, get that crap out of my head. That's where your helmet comes in. The helmet of salvation is there to block those things. But the helmet reminds me, you're already saved. You're already accepted. You're already headed home. So we're already saved. So when you have those thoughts that we all have that just creep into your mind, that's the evil one trying to get you, snare you, and get you to come to that side. But if you're already saved, you're already saved. There's nothing he can do. You just get that junk out of your mind. Don't fight for victory. Fight from victory, like we had talked about earlier. Think redeemed thoughts. think redeemed thoughts when those bad things come in. No, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. That's the helmet doing its job. Verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Now, I find this really awesome because everything we've talked about to this point has been defensive. It's either protecting you or holding you back and doing all this. This is the only offensive thing we have, is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. It's the only offensive weapon. It's not a broadsword. It's not a short dagger for close combat. Jesus used it three times in the wilderness. It is written, it is written, it is written. Memorize it, meditate on it, speak on it out loud. The word in your mouth is lethal to the enemy. This word in your mouth is lethal to your enemy. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Imagine that. Next time I get in a knife fight in Seattle, I'll be like, haha. I see you, sir. A soldier must train with the sword. The more you study scripture, the more skillfully you can use it when temptation strikes. Don't just carry your Bible. Know it. Learn it little by little. There's book, there's audio Bible, there's, you can get every book on audio. One, how God saved me is he stuffed me, I was so stubborn, he stuffed me in a truck with an audio Bible and said, go front and back and then tell me you're an atheist. Okay, I'm going to read this thing so that I can turn around to you Christians and tell you just what I know. I start from the beginning to the end. And wasn't even like a quarter of the way through. I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely Christian. That's it. I'm done. We're done. So then going back to verse 18, which this is why I include it in the armor of God, even though it's not part of the six, is the power of prayer. Verse 18, pray in the Spirit. Armor without prayer is like a soldier without communication. Prayer is how we stay connected to our commander. Paul says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. So pray on all times, on all kinds of prayers, for all people. So pray at all times. Pray in the morning when you wake up. Pray on your drive to work. Pray at lunchtime. Pray before you eat that lunch at lunchtime, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just talk to him throughout the day. So the different types of kinds of prayers, praise, confession, intercession. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this beautiful day. Thank you for my beautiful family. Confession, Lord, I really messed up there. I'm so sorry. Please forgive my sin. I need to work on this, and I need to help. I need help heading in that direction. Intercession. Intercession is one I don't do enough, and I think it's extremely important. When we have these issues, and like I was talking about, arguments amongst the church and things, it's important to have intercession. God, I need this conversation to come out right. I need your will to be done. And so I need you to intercede in here. I need your thoughts, your words coming out. With that, with your wife, with your kids, with everybody. Intercession, your coworker. So, and for all people, no favoritism. So, you know, we're going to get to heaven and it's going to be funny and I can't wait to see it because we're going to be walking in heaven and we're going to be going along. There's going to be people you never thought were going to be saved that are saved. And then there's going to be people you thought for sure were going to be saved that didn't make it. And so you're going to be up there and you're going to be like, you? No way. You made it? And he's going to be like, yeah, I thought you were burning for sure, but hey, here we are together. Check us out. So, you know, anyways, so when you're praying, it's important that you're praying for all people. You know, even your worst enemy, we should be praying for them. And it's his job, and he decides what happens with them. But we should pray for all people, no matter what the situation is with them. So pray activates the armor. It keeps us alert and ready. So in closing, I'm going to go on a little diatribe here, so just bear with me. When the sun is shining and the light feels right, stand. When the night is long and the doctor's report is bad, stand. When your friends are faithful and your prayers are answered, stand. When your friends walk away and heaven feels silent, stand. When you feel strong and full of faith, stand. When you feel weak and can barely pray, stand. When the kids are obeying and the marriage is sweet, stand. When the kids are breaking your heart and the marriage is hard, stand. When the worship is loud and your hands are raised, stand. When darkness surrounds you and your hands feel weak, stand. In plenty and hunger, in victory and chains, stand. In life, in death, in joy, or in pain, stand. Because they will know you are mine, Jesus says. Jesus says, because they will know you are mine, not by how powerfully you stand, but by your love for one another while you stand. So if I could have you guys stand right now, if you're able. So church, whatever is happening, whatever has happened, whatever is coming next, let them see your love and let them see you standing in the full armor of God. As we go through this week, month, year, stand in the belt of truth, stand in the breastplate of righteousness, stand in the shoes of peace, stand with the shield of faith, stand in the helmet of salvation, stand in the sword of the Spirit, stand in worship, stand in prayer, stand in love, stand in joy, stand in peace, and stand in the full armor of God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now go live standing. The world needs to see Christians who refuse to fall. Let's pray. Lord, clothe us today in your armor. Help us stand firm in your truth, to walk in righteousness, to speak the gospel of peace, to live by faith, to rest in our salvation, and to fight with your word. Make us strong in you and in the power of your might, in Jesus Christ's precious, beautiful name. Amen. Thank you much. You can have a seat.